It's extra time.
He shoots, and it's a goal!
Hello and welcome back to a new look Extra Time. We're obviously coming to you as a podcast, but we're also now coming to you on YouTube. And today I'm joined by Chris Hamill. Hi, Chris.
Hello, mate. Are we going to pretend to be in a good mood and not that it's just taken 45 minutes to set this up?
It'll be fine.
Let's do it. I'm good to go.
So today we're going to bring you some football chat. We found a way to do that. But this week's episode is brought to you by Harry's. Now, as you probably already know, they're a subscription shaving service, and we've got a very special deal for you. If you go to harrys.com/extra, you can get a trial set from them for £3.95. That includes a razor handle, a 5-blade cartridge, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for your razor. Now, obviously, Harry's are kind of known for giving you high quality at a lower price. And for me, I've certainly found the product is of an extremely high quality. I often find that, I don't know, I was going to say supermarket razors, but the razors that you get in like
packs of
the high street,
50.
Yeah, they've got like 100 blades, but they feel really cheap and plasticky despite being really expensive. And I don't know, Chris, it looks kind of like you are attempting to grow a little musketeer beard.
You know full well I can't grow a full beard, okay?
There's a little bit happening.
Yeah, I mean, I always get the tash, don't I? You're right, it's very sort of ye olde. What sort of schedule do you go through? How often do you shave? Because I'm about 2 or 3 times a week.
I don't shave that often. It kind of depends. Though what I do is top up my cheeks and my neck relatively often, because those are the areas that get out of control. And I've actually found that Harry's razor is really, really good there. With the foaming shave gel, I get a pretty smooth glide. It's a really close shave without kind of making the skin all raised and red and angry looking. And so, yeah, I would highly recommend it, especially seeing as it's a way to get new razor blades delivered to you at the moment without having to leave your house. You can subscribe to Harry's while doing social distancing, which is pretty good.
2 birds, 1 stone.
How are you feeling? Just to move on from this, how are you feeling about the prospect of Lauren potentially cutting your hair at some stage?
Absolutely mortified. That will not be happening under any circumstances. See, a few of my friends have shaved their heads. There's that little bit of intrigue as to what I'd look like with no hair, but I suspect it'll be horrifying.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a curiosity I have, to be honest. I feel like if you were to shave your head, maybe you'd just lose all your powers. Though well, now I think I'm not sure what powers I mean. Editing, I guess, mostly editing.
Like we've just highlighted, I can't grow facial hair, which I feel is a prerequisite if you want to shave your head. Like you need hair north or south. If I lose any on the bonds, I would just look like an egg that's, I don't know, been like covered in PVA glue and then rolled over the carpet.
Yeah, just rolled around on the floor of a barber's.
Just picking up dust, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, thanks very much for sponsoring this week's episode, Harry's. And if you'd like to claim your trial set from them for just £3.95, then head to harrys.com/extra. You obviously, as I said, get a razor handle, a 5-blade cartridge, foaming shave gel, and that travel cover. So thanks very much to Harry's. But today's episode, we're going to do some football would you rather. Now, obviously, the season has been curtailed or temporarily postponed, but it looks like plans for the summer transfer window are going ahead apace. So I have got some would you rather transfers for Europe's top clubs to ask Chris to see who he'd take and why.
And
Chris,
just to clarify, I haven't seen these or heard about them. So I'm looking forward to it.
You are shifting around. Look, with this zip up sort of jacket and this hat, you look like just local drug dealer. Like, big time. Very neat, but local drug dealer.
Very Football Factory Extra right now.
Yeah. So okay, that's pretty good.
Very Nick Love. Is it Nick Love? Who directs?
Yeah, Nick Love. Yeah, yeah. It is.
Most of
the guy
Danny
who makes all the films with Danny Dyer.
Yeah. There we go. Snap.
All right. So I'm going to start you off with Real Madrid.
Okay.
Would you rather Paul Pogba or Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang this summer?
Oh, for me, this one's pretty easy. I would definitely go for Paul Pogba.
Why is that?
They are going to need a Luka Modric replacement, aren't they, in the next 12 months. His powers are dwindling. What is he, 33 going on 34? possibly older right now. So that is a huge void to fill in central midfield. In terms of defensive duties, they've got Casemiro. Fede Valverde can do a bit of everything, can't he? He's certainly been one of their more prominent players this season. He's chipped in with a fair few amount of goals given his limited minutes. Who else makes up that midfield three? Toni Kroos. I do think Toni Kroos probably has 1 or 2 years more left in him as a regular starter. His game's been relatively unaffected by age, although I guess that is why Valverde has been so crucial, right? Because not a lot of mobility or a waning amount of mobility in that side. So yeah, I think I'd go Paul Pogba. I'm still sort of hedging my bets that Jovic will be a decent signing. Not got an awful lot of minutes under Zidane and has been offered a few ways out of the club, hasn't he, that he's not taken. So fair play to him so far. But with Vinicius Junior, Rodrigo, Hazard coming back, I just don't think they're going to be short of goals. Sure, without Cristiano Ronaldo, their average goals per 90, you know, might have dropped from 3 to below 2. But that just means they're winning most matches by a 1-2 goal margin and completely flattening sides. I certainly think Oba would score an awful lot of goals in that team, and it would be an upgrade on what they currently have. But maybe only for 1 or 2 years, whereas Pogba an upgrade for potentially 6-7.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I don't think I'd sign either of these guys for Real Madrid.
It was a trick question.
But if you were going to sign one, it would have to be Pogba, I think. Though I guess it depends what the money's like. Like, there are rumours that Arsenal would sell Aubameyang for about 50 mil.
Do you think that's good money?
I think he can... Well, for whom? I mean, like, he can probably, with a year left on his contract, it's not bad for Arsenal. And I think for anybody else, it's okay. Like, I actually don't think he'll age that badly because his movement in the box is very, very good. Like, even if his pace drops, he's still going to be pretty quick. Like, he's got a lot going for him. But, yeah, it would just feel like a bit of a strange move when you've got Luka Jovic on the books. If I was going to move Jovic on, I'd be much more inclined to go for a young striker like Timo Werner.
Especially for the midfield, same sort of money, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Pogba would be great for Real Madrid, don't get me wrong. I'm just not sure that it's... I think he's going to cost a lot more than somebody who could probably maybe not be individually as good, but make the team as good.
Yeah.
So that's my only reservation there. But okay. Let's move on to the next one. Barcelona. Neymar or Lautaro Martinez?
The romantic inside me wants to say Neymar. I won one last season of the MSN. Although, is that better left in the memory? Do we want to see a severely inferior version of that holy trident? Lautaro Martinez makes more sense, but I'm not sure how appealing a prospect Barcelona are right now for players on the peripheries of the first team or players who necessarily wouldn't be guaranteed first team minutes. So Neymar would go back because he knows he's going to be played right, whereas Martinez maybe would have one eye on the Coutinho, Dembele, even Griezmann to an extent situation, and maybe he would think the club is a bit of a mess at the moment. Will Setien still be there in 12 months? Maybe I'm better off where I am for the time being, which feels a little bit odd saying out loud, because obviously pre-Conte, Inter were a bit of a, not a state, but they certainly weren't in any danger of bridging that gap between, you know, finishing in the Champions League places and finishing as champions. Whereas Conte, I think, will do that in the next year or so. So yeah, Neymar walks back into the first team. On a personal level, I don't think he has would have any reservations. Whereas if I was Martinez, I would just think you've ruined 2 or 3 really hot prospects, or not even hot prospects, established stars in the last 2 years because of your lack of joined up thinking. Do I go? Personally, I would probably go for Martinez because he's going to be half the money, half the wages, probably less than half. But I think, yeah, out of those two players, Neymar would probably more readily return. Does that answer the question?
Kind of. I mean, I think Lautaro would go. Like, But I do understand what you're saying. Like, there'd be a little bit of trepidation. But he's... I don't know, really. Because, like, if they'd just gone and got, like, a really great winger last year instead of buying Antoine Griezmann, then I feel like this would be much more straightforward. I'd say straight away Martinez. And I still am going to say Martinez, but it feels like they're trying to find a way to move on from Ousmane Dembele. They spent far too much on Griezmann. I still think that they're going to try and play Suarez when he's fit. So maybe the best thing to do to upgrade the team is just to get a top quality left winger. It's a really difficult one. But I mean, from just a sensible future planning point of view, I think I say Martinez, because then I look at the side and I'm like, okay, we've got a really good core of players like to face the future. And I think Barca's fallen behind Real Madrid a little bit there in recent years. So that would make me feel a lot more confident about them being competitive in 2 to 3 years' time.
Yeah. Which means they'll sign Neymar, right?
Yeah, it definitely means they'll sign Neymar. Yeah. I mean, obviously, if they could get him, Mbappe would be great. I think Mbappe would probably be perfect because he could actually play off the wing and then go to centre forward and solve all the problems. So
he's of the calibre where he just replaces Suarez, right?
Yeah, exactly. So should we move on to a slightly more a tastier one?
Oh, yeah.
Man United.
The Grealish, other one. The other option, whatever you're about to say.
Grealish or Harry Kane?
Oh, wow. That is good. You know what? It feels totally inconceivable that I wouldn't say Harry Kane. But now Marcus Rashford is playing so well at nine. Do you upset that apple cart? And they could definitely, definitely use Grealish. Midfield is probably much more pressing than centre forwards. Especially as they need a specialist right winger, right? Not so much a striker. Oh God, I'm going to go Grealish.
I knew you'd go Grealish.
What about you?
I probably wouldn't go for either.
You've got to stop not answering your own questions.
I feel like going for Bruno Fernandes in a sensible club would mean you shouldn't go for Grealish because they want to do the same thing. They want to do exactly the same thing. Like, they really do. And I think if you really wanted Grealish, you should have just, like, toughed out the rest of the season and got Grealish in the summer, which would have made sense. Getting Fernandes and Grealish makes no sense at all to me. Unless you've got, like, peak Conte behind them. And even then, I think it would be a stretch.
I'd play maybe a bit of a 4-1-4-1, like Leicester. And if you have a lights-out defensive midfielder, you can kind of have those two floating eights, right? And maybe that is Grealish and maybe that is Bruno.
But then you need
to sign Ndidi.
You need wingers and fullbacks who are going to do a lot more than everyone at United will do apart from Wan-Bissaka. Like, I think my concern there is that you'll get a lot more pressing, if not defensive, like tackles and interceptions. You get a lot more pressing out of people like Maddison and Vardy than you get out of United's front line. And I don't know. I just don't trust that United squad to be able to pull that off. Like, I mean, Ndidi's legs are going to fall off about 6 weeks into the season if he's got Bruno and Grealish in front of him, like, genuinely not dropping back at all.
Yeah, I've not heard them linked with any sort of defensive midfielders, which I'd find a little bit alarming. Eh? Yeah. So to answer your question, I'd go Wilfred Ndidi.
Okay, I'm actually fine with that. Okay, Arsenal. Dayo Upamecano or Victor Osimhen. Big needs.
Yeah.
Big needs. Like normally you'd say Arsenal don't need a striker, but Arsenal are going to lose Aubameyang for sure this summer. They can choose whether to lose Lacazette, but they're still going to need a centre-forward pretty soon. On the other hand, at the back, unless Saliba arrives and is immediately one of the best young centre-backs in the world, which is possible. He looks pretty good, though he's been injured quite a bit. I mean, things are a bit of a state there as well.
I might answer this in a cowardly type fashion and just go with what I think Arteta is going to do or would do in that hypothetical, which is signing Upamecano. Because I think he's readily sacrificed offensive output, knowing that Aubameyang can pull things out of his arse in order to shore up Arsenal's defence. And I think if you offered him someone like Upamecano, he would probably back himself to then go and get another 10, 20% out of the midfield or attack or front five, however you want to phrase it, knowing that the defence is miles, miles better with him in it.
I think that's sensible. I mean, like, he's definitely improved the defence a lot. Like, Arsenal are now conceding a goal a game. I think they're down to about 10 and a half shots conceded per game from about 16 over the first half of the season. And they have also had a couple of red cards in a relatively small number of matches under Arteta, which is why I think we saw a couple of games where the shots looked kind of a bit more like they did under Emery. But there's definitely been an improvement there. On the other hand, the attack has gone into a hole in the ground. And to be honest with you, like, again, it's one of those things, isn't it? The reason I didn't give you a number 10 here is because I thought, yeah, you'll just pick the number 10, like, obviously. Because that, I think, a number 10 who can also press and defend a bit, to me, solves a lot of Arsenal's problems.
Maybe someone like James Maddison.
Interesting. Right, let's move on to Chelsea.
Cool.
Jadon Sancho or... And this is quite a fun rumour. Achraf Hakimi.
Ooh, fighter.
That apparently Chelsea are in discussions with Real Madrid for Hakimi. Obviously, he would go straight and probably playing as a left back, but could clearly play right back as well. I mean, that is his normal position. Can play right winger too.
You'd imagine they're signing him for left back, right? Because Reece James has become one of Lampard's key players. Yeah,
you've got to assume so. But I mean, it's... If he was going to sign, he'd have to sign knowing that he was going to be a left back, and you have to wonder how happy he'd be with that as an idea.
Coming in, and his options are already being limited, which...
On the other hand, I don't think that Chelsea needs Sancho that much. Like, don't get me wrong, if you can get Sancho, you do. But I think that they've already signed Ziyech. They've obviously got Pulisic and Hudson-Odoi, who've both been... Hudson-Odoi's been pretty good this season. Pulisic's been amazing when he's played. Abraham obviously looks like he's got centre forward wrapped up. So, yes, would it be good to have Sancho? Obviously. But if you get Ziyech, you get Ziyech because Ziyech's always going to be on the ball. He's going to be your chief creator. And so it seems to... So I actually think... I don't know if I really believe the rumours about Sancho that much. Just because I think they wouldn't have gone and got Ziyech if they thought they could get Sancho.
They don't quite stack up as much as Sancho to Manchester United, which we've kind of talked about to death, but still, it looks like such an obvious fit, doesn't it? Especially with, I can't remember quite who from Dortmund's hierarchy coming out and saying that coronavirus isn't going to make Jadon Sancho any cheaper. His fee will be fixed at this price. And this was amidst further, more advanced interest from Manchester United, apparently. So they feel like a match made in heaven. Whether the lack of Champions League football would put him off is a totally different conversation. I think Hakimi would be great for Chelsea. I would probably opt, in terms of what the squad needs, replacing Marcus Alonso is paramount, isn't it, to shoring up that defence. In a weird, distorted world, Hakimi is probably more needed in that side. But I would still take Jadon Sancho if you said you're guaranteed one of these two players.
Okay. Liverpool. Timo Werner or Raheem Sterling?
Oh, wow. Liverpool. Raheem Sterling. But doesn't he want to operate in the same area as Sadio Mane?
So it's a question for you to answer.
I would probably go for Timo Werner. Yes, I just think that as much as people have subscribed to the cult of Bobby Firmino, that we're going to see a notable drop off in the next couple of years. And then his ability to facilitate other attackers, you know, his ability as an enabler won't buy him as much time or patience when it comes to his output, you know, still being below 15, 12, 10 goals in the league. Timo Werner could just step in for any one of those boys across the front line as well. And I think they've got width sewn up. I know that Raheem Sterling is more so an inverted winger now, like most wingers. But less pressing in that side with Robertson down that left-hand side, Trent down the right. Like to have an outstanding winger, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Agreed. My last one was about Juventus, but I've realised I don't care. What do you think of the rumours linking Coutinho to Leicester?
Well, Jesus. What I did not think we'll be exploring this scenario. Okay, so I imagine this only happens in a world where James Maddison moves on. Unless his structure changes dramatically. I think Vardy's the highest paid player, right? Probably in the region of 120 to 150, I guess.
I think he's on 150 and right, then Kasper Schmeichel's on about 140.
Good from Schmeichel's agent. Really good.
I know, right?
Oh, wow. That would certainly be... I feel like that'd be quite a symbolic signing. More so than his output necessarily justifying the wages and the transfer fee, right? I think if you had a player like Coutinho at Leicester, that would represent them coming on as a club, rightly or wrongly, because obviously perception's a very powerful thing in the world of football. Would that make it easier to then get another couple of players in? Yeah, that'd be great. I think only if Maddison moves on, though, because Maddison and Tielemans do dovetail really nicely in that current system. Harvey Barnes coming off the wing. I think there's probably a bit of a space on the right-hand side. Don't think Perez has quite got that sewn down in the manner that probably have hoped. Or would that money then detract from them finding a Vardy replacement? Mate, if spending 120 million on Coutinho meant that they had no more money to sign a centre-forward, I don't think I'd do it.
Ooh. Yeah, I wouldn't do it either. I think they could just spend the money better. I really do.
Where would you nice spend... How would you spend 100 mil on that Leicester team?
It's tempting to say a long-term replacement for Johnny Evans. I think that'd be a sensible place to look. Though, obviously, they've got... What's your boy? Benkovic. They've got your boy Benkovic.
They don't seem to particularly back him.
I'd buy a striker. I'd buy a striker and probably... at least one backup fullback and probably a right winger. I'd buy a right winger, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, if...
like, that's the obvious place to upgrade, right?
But there's a couple of massive ifs, isn't there? If Ben Chilwell moves on, if James Maddison moves on, all of a sudden you've kind of tore the heart out of that team.
So you've got some football would you rathers as well?
I have. I think we should probably round the show off me asking you, you know, just to be courteous.
Cool.
Would you rather win a treble or go a season unbeaten?
What's the treble?
The domestic treble.
Oh, the domestic treble. Season unbeaten, definitely.
Okay, European treble.
Okay, so what, like the FA Cup, the league and the Champions League?
Yeah.
Oh, it's difficult.
Do you want...
you know what?
That gold Premier League...
yeah, but it's been done before. It's been done before. Like, if it were the first time, maybe. But on the other hand, like, at the end of your career, you've definitely won the league. You've definitely won the Champions League. Like, no one can say anything to you about your club achievements.
For me, this is easy.
You say, what, Invincibles?
No.
League treble, yeah.
Yeah. Three parties. Okay. Three, you know, two finals. Yeah. Who cares about being unbeaten?
Yeah, I think I would probably go the treble if it includes the Champions League.
Fair. Right, next question. So you have to attend every game for the next 10 years. You're a season ticket holder and you're going on the road as well. You have to be fanatical about one of these sides. Tottenham or Manchester United?
I have to go to every game.
Home and away. For a decade.
Tottenham, definitely.
Why? Jose Mourinho's Tottenham. At least for the next 2 years.
I didn't hate Tottenham growing up as much as I hated Man United, because Tottenham were not significant and haven't been significant until about 4 years ago. They're also in London, which is like very convenient for me. And food in North London, excellent. Turkish food in North London, particularly, worth going there for.
I mean, you had me at kebabs.
Yeah.
Okay, and coincidentally, the next one is food related. When you're at this game, you know, the game you're forced, being forced to attend, you have to have one of the snacks, the savory snacks at half time every match. And it's going to be crammed down your throat if you refuse to eat it. So do you get a pie or a hot dog?
Oof. Oh, God. I really like a hot dog, but football club hot dogs, not great. And to me, a pie is like, I mean, it's a tremendous invention. Like, I mean, I'm going to get super fat if I'm having like two pies a week for 10 years. But yeah, I go pie, definitely. Also, there's variation in pies, right? Like there's a chicken pie, there's a beef pie. I'm assuming there's a steak and kidney pie. There might even be a vegetarian pie. I'll give all those pies a go. Whereas the hot dog, it's like, you've really only got the condiments and the toppings to like to vary it up. So yeah, pie.
Okay. To accompany that, beverage. Do you go for... Oh, hello, I'm back. Do you go for Bovril or Fanta for 10 years every match day?
I've never had Bovril.
What?
Well, it's not the war. There's not... I mean, I know that it feels like there's rationing, but there isn't. You don't actually have to drink Bovril. What is it? Is it just like... In my mind, it's like gravy.
It's a meat drink.
Sounds pretty good.
It's a distant cousin of gravy. But...
Okay.
I think through the winter months, when you're out on, you know, the terraces, there is fewer better companions than a medium-sized cup of Bovril.
Yeah, but Jesus Christ, I mean, like, I've got to have it every game.
Yeah.
Like, away games, or even in August, it was like 37 degrees in London last year. So I'm standing on the terraces at the new White Hart Lane, which also, by the way, that validates my decision too, because I knew White Hart Lane,
class.
Pretty cool stadium. But I'm on the terraces, it's 35 degrees out, and I'm drinking a steaming hot cup of Bovril.
But don't they Patrick, that the best way to cool down is by having a hot drink?
I think they do say that, but I think those theys are idiots. Like, I think, do I get to rotate between the flavours of Fanta, or am I stuck with orange Fanta?
No, you're stuck with orange.
Can I just choose one? Does it have to be orange?
Okay, I will let you choose one. Are you going fruit
grape
twist?
Grape Fanta.
Grape?
Absolute fruit twist scenes. Fanta is disgusting.
Well, what a time
orange
to end
Fanta,
this call.
Orange Fanta, no good, but Grape Fanta is amazing. So,
how
Grape Fanta.
Dare you insult Grape
Fanta.
Fruit twist?
No, it's trash.
I guzzled gallons of that growing up. Fruit twist.
I bet you did.
Was the fucking bomb. Okay, and that's all I had, because I was pretty much, you know, taking my hypothetical Van Straten in my head through the matchday experience.
I think we could do one or two non-football ones if you want, just to round it out.
Let's do it.
So, visit any time in the past or visit any time in the future. Now, to make this clear, in the past, you can go back to a specific time where you know a specific thing was happening and witness that thing. Whereas in the future, you've kind of got to guess. So you could say, right, I'm going to go forward 500 years, but you have no idea what's going to be happening then. You're going to have no idea what the state of things is going to be.
Yeah.
Whereas in the past, there's safety, though perhaps a little bit less excitement maybe. In the future, there's slight fear because you might turn up in like an irradiated wasteland.
Yeah, I'm thinking very Rick and Morty.
Exciting.
Or Simpsons Treehouse of Horror.
Yeah, to me, this is still easy, I think.
I think I would go to the past because you can really fine-tune your search, can't you?
Yeah.
I think if I had the ability to go into the future, Van Straten, being a little bit of a health nut, I would probably just keep going until I worked out when I was going to die and then be really sad when I worked it out.
Yeah, but you could just go forward like 1,000 years.
No, I'm not having it. I don't want to know what's coming. I want to feel like the master of my own fate.
All right. Okay, I've got one last one.
Pass.
One last one for you.
Oh.
And this is like calibrated for you to make the decision difficult.
Okay.
Would you rather have 20/20 eyesight or be 3 inches taller?
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Imagine.
3 inches taller?
Yes.
Yeah, I've been told I don't look as good without glasses now. So they've become a feature. And yeah, I could just go and get... True. I could go and get laser eye surgery, couldn't I? Like, I could be a different person now. I went a little bit bog-eyed then. What's going on? I often, you know, when I'm just by myself, will stand on a book that's at least 500 pages plus and just picture what it'd be like to be over the average height of 5'9".
Yeah, I mean, if you were going to gain 3 inches, it would probably all be on your legs.
All on the leg.
Just because, like, the torso is, like, normal size, yeah. But the legs are, like, substantially shorter.
Grounded, yeah. Though. If there was gale That's force true. Winds, I'd be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like a butternut squash. They're just, like, you know, very, very bottom heavy.
I think you should do this every week, by the way. I think you should have one person on each week.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when we're doing our little team meetings and we have, well, they're not so little anymore, are they? You know,
no.
15, 20 people trying to talk, chaos. But this one-on-one's quite nice.
Yeah, quite, it's very civilized.
Relatively pain-free.
Well, thank you very much for joining me. You're on the first, I don't know, coronavirus transmission of the Extra Time era. So, obviously, as we said, this episode brought to you by Harry's. If you want to check out that trial set for £3.95, then head to harrys.com/extra. Thank you very much for watching or listening, and we'll see you next week. Cheers, Chris.
No worries, mate. Bye.
Cheers. Bye.